The Around the NFL Podcast. Dab on them folks.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wesseling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Thursday. Fun. Thursday's fun. TGIF's next. Yay. Workshopping that one.
I'd keep it in the shop for a bit.
Yeah. How's everybody doing?
Big day. You know, Hansis taping things. Going downtown to cover the Arizona Cardinals later today.
That's right. All or Nothing, the new Amazon series that drops a multi-part documentary on July 1st. And it is, from what I understand, also done with HBO Films. So you have that. Everybody's in good hands here.
NFL Films.
This could be the Hard Knocks full season type show we've always been waiting for. And they documented the right team, too, the 2015 Cards. Which
the team of ATL.
A team that went all the way, obviously, to the NFC title game. So anyway, I'll be there tonight. There's also an open bar and free food, hallmarks of things that the old Zeuser likes. So I look forward to it.
Meanwhile, you abandon your softball team.
Work. Duty calls.
Coming off our best all-around game of the season.
Yeah, we played really well against a solid team, a 15-6 victory last week with David Ealy, of course, suspended for his malfeasance. So we are now 3-2. If the season ended today, we would be in the playoffs. So things are going well there. With me out of the picture tonight, my consigliere, my own personal Don Zimmer, the great Hall of Fame softball player, Chris Wesseling, steps up into the managing chair, and he's got a big challenge against the undefeated Barney's Nooners.
Oh, we're gonna get killed. I'm just going to play to have fun. Put everybody in weird positions, and don't even let them get caught up in the competition because it's a mismatch.
How do you know? What if they're missing a rash of players?
I will be able to ascertain that. Based on my experience when I watched them warm up.
I'm going to stay out of this because, again, I gave Wes the team for the night. But what about the old Hoosiers, Gene Hackman, you know, measuring the hoop? He'd be like, listen, it's the same diamond. We all get the same amount of outs here.
I think you have to
anything
trust my 20-plus years of softball coaching experience here. I know when to let it loose and have fun, and I know when to play competitively.
You are potentially the Bruce Arians to Dan's Chuck Pagano. Pagano, well-respected, well-liked.
Good analogy.
But Arians, in the long run, he took an opportunity. It was your analogy before the show, but someone had to use
it. I see how it works around here.
And I did. I also warned before the show, if we're going to run with this analogy, I'll be sure to pounce on it if we do lose by 20 runs tonight.
Which is fairly likely.
But we'll see.
One footnote, there was some concern that maybe there wouldn't be enough players because there are a lot of people out tonight.
Yeah.
And people saying, oh, well, maybe we should get David Ealy back in the lineup. Now, come on. That's not what this team is about. We shot that down right away. And he will not see the field tonight. He's not allowed to be on the premises. And by the way, he organized a dinner for himself with a lady friend. So the guy could not care less about the sport and his involvement in it.
Well, I'm happy for him, the date. We know that the way the relationship ended with his college girlfriend, that did significant emotional damage to him. And even at the age of 28, he's still kind of recovering from that. So if there's another woman out there, maybe he could take this suspension and turn it into something that makes him a happier person.
Massive long shot.
You know what could help the damage is you mentioning it repeatedly on a podcast.
I'm definitely coming up in his meetings with his psychoanalyst. Okay. Great show today. Pre-grade. A-.
Wow.
It's rare.
Very excited. You know why I'm excited? Because – couple things. First of all, behind the glass, first time in a while, he is TD. Whoa, who is that guy? Filling in right away. He doesn't even know how the Dean Scream works. But we have not had TD behind the glass in ages. You're not even doing the Sheck Show anymore, right, TD?
I am. I'm involved. I'm always involved. I stay involved. But I'm not on a day-to-day Sheck Show handling that.
Are you trying to become a shadowy league figure? Is that what's going on here?
Not at all. I'm always going to be a man of the people. That's what I strive for.
You're not involved with any people at the company right now. You've taken yourself out of every equation that has to do with the podcast.
No, I'm still very much in the podcast world. Here at work, here doing my own, doing a little show at home as well.
So that's called expert middle management. There's many people at this company where if you really dig down deep, it's confusing what they do at all. You just
well, it's not confusing. It's very little masked as much.
Well, there's that. I mean, we're looking busy is a hard job to do.
We're hashtag blessed here, TD. Nice platform. Why don't you give a little plug for your basketball podcast?
Oh, thank you, Dan. So nice. Make It Take a Podcast. It's a podcast I started with Cal Montgomery, who covers the Clippers for Fox Sports, and Laura Murray, who's a researcher here at the NFL and an NBA guy. We learn from the best, I'll tell you that. We record a show after every big game, right at night. Very like the Around the NFL podcast, tapes on Sundays.
Smart.
During the week. So
smart.
Law Murray knows his stuff.
He does. Really, really good.
So make sure you check that out. So TD's here. I'm excited about that. Also excited, the return of Win West's Toaster.
Told you guys I'm a little bit rusty. So, all right. But here we go.
Win West's Toaster.
And, you know, if Wes is involved with the toaster, it's not even Wes's Toaster. Greg, as you know, and
no.
I know you're not excited about today. Pre-grade show of C-minus from Greg Rosenthal.
Well, when Damashek's toaster everyone forgot about and no one asked to have back on the show.
Wow, Greg.
Rolls right off the tongue.
So if Wes is going to try to get that toaster back, that should give you a little hint of a guest who might be showing up a little later. But we'll get to that. For now, let's do some news, TD. Oh, no.
Hey, everyone.
I couldn't pass up an opportunity to drop some superhero knowledge for Wes specifically. That's Spider-Man the Civil War saying, hey, everyone.
Yeah, I think that like most of our listeners under 10 will appreciate your drop there, TD.
They will.
All right, let's start with some money matters. And the quarterback, Andrew Luck, who has a chance to become the richest man in the NFL, which is quite an achievement. Ian Rappaport reported that slowly over the course of several conversations since February, the two sides, the Colts and Andrew Luck, have been moving closer on the terms of a potential deal that would no doubt make Luck the highest paid player in league history. Currently, that player is Joe Flacco, somewhat surprisingly. That's how you cash in, baby, who is earning $22.13 million per year on his current extension. Highly unlikely Luck will accept anything below that. Rap Sheet goes on to say that this deal could reach $25 million per year, given his age, productivity, and leverage. He's on his fifth-year option right now, where he's making over $16 million. We'll start with this, Wes. One of the best young quarterbacks in the league, coming off a season where he got hurt and also was not good before he got hurt. Would that give you any pause if you were in the front office of the Indianapolis Colts?
No, it wouldn't, and I understand why. To me, the most intriguing part of Ian's report was that the holdup originally was that Jim Irsay wanted to sign him to a 10-year deal. They want him locked up for the rest of his career, and that tells you how good he is. I know that he was disappointing last year even before the season-ending injury, but that's seven games, and what I saw on tape for 50-something games in his first three seasons, to me, is a litmus test for how well your eye can gauge a football game. He's a no-doubt stud, and I think he's exactly what you build around in the NFL.
I mean, we have the NFL honors at the end of the year, and I'm sure everyone wants to win those, but being the highest-paid player in the league, that is the ultimate NFL honor. I don't know if that's what gets Andrew Luck out of bed in the morning or not, but that is – that is reaching the pinnacle of your sport, and it sounds like he's going to get more than $25 million a year. And I've heard some people say, well, this isn't great news for a Colts team that is very top-heavy, I guess you could call it. You know, there's some big weaknesses on the defense, on the offensive line. But that's stupid logic. He's underpaid. All top 15 quarterbacks, to me, are underpaid, even in a salary cap. So it doesn't matter. Just give him the money.
This is a highly noxious time of year because we're going to have to file multiple stories about like six or seven players that are between June and July about to sign big deals, and I don't care until it happens. We have had so much information about player X wants to sign this deal, it's going to make him the richest player. Just do it. There's going to be no end to richest paid player in the league. Year after year, this happens.
In honor of you, Mark Sessler, let's move on to our next news item. Von Miller and the Broncos are at an impasse over guaranteed money as they work towards a mega deal that would make Von Miller potentially the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. The Broncos had reportedly set a 10 p.m. Tuesday deadline to reach an agreement, which is funny, but they have not pulled the offer. This is all coming from NFL Media's James Palmer, who has a source informed of the negotiations. The Broncos are reassessing their position, and negotiations remain ongoing, Palmer said. Right now, Miller is set to play under the franchise tag, which is under $14 million. Of course, Von Miller, Super Bowl 50 MVP, absolute monster stud. This is going to get done, right?
I think we have to come up with a new word for soft deadline, because there's no deadline at all. It was like a wish cast, right, or a suggestion.
Well, and supposedly it's the second time the Broncos have done this. We got to do it by this day, or it's not going to happen. I think they wanted to get him in for the mini camp. That's not going to happen. There is a real deadline. July 15th is literally the deadline for a long-term deal for him this year, or else he'd have to play under the franchise tag or sit out the year. But what you were talking about, Mark, I couldn't agree more. And Von Miller is the perfect example. We have seen 7 different reports in the last 3 days from every media outlet, and everyone's carrying different pails of water for different sides of the negotiation. Oh, Von Miller's going to sit out a year. Oh, they didn't actually reject the deal. They accepted. Like, all this stuff is just it's just semantic nonsense. I agree.
It's interesting, one thing with the Broncos, because they can – think about paying this kind of a player this money, because they're suddenly not having to pay Peyton Manning the money he was getting. They're not going to have to pay a quarterback that much
cash. Or Brock, for that matter.
Yeah.
Moving on, I really hope that you did not purchase a Austin Seferian Jenkins jersey after he went in the second round of the 2014 NFL draft to the Bucks, because things are not going well between those two sides. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end was sent off the practice field Thursday. Coach Dirk Koetter told reporters he was sent home because he, quote, didn't know what he was doing, according to the Tampa Bay Times. Koetter added that the issues are, quote, between us. And just to give you an idea of how ugly this got, after he was sent off the field, Seferian Jenkins posted a tweet which read, in all caps, "Moving on." He since deleted that tweet, but you get the feeling that the two sides, we know for a fact, are in a terrible place, Greg.
Well, I'm now that I think about it, maybe he meant moving on, like he needed to move past this bad day on the team. Not that he's moving on from the team, but it doesn't matter. The main story here is that Wes's boy, Cameron Brate, is there. They have Luke Stocker, who they play kind
Stocky.
Of blocking tight end. And Seferian Jenkins was a promising-looking player who looks like he's going to get passed. I mean, you like this guy, Brate.
I do. When I rewatched all of Jameis Winston's plays for our redrafting series, Brate really kind of jumped out as me as a guy who's more reliable than Jenkins. Jenkins has had maturity issues since he got to the NFL. Brate has an obvious rapport with Winston. He's more athletic than you would think for an undrafted player out of Harvard. So I think this ASJ's loss is Brate's gain.
And Dirk Koetter, their new coach, who was their coordinator, has made it clear he's a Brate fan. I don't think you even need to read between the lines that Brate is likely to start over Seferian Jenkins.
I like the move for Dirk Koetter because I'm a new coach. You know, people around here, some might still look at me as the offensive coordinator that just took the job. You got to drop a couple big vocal hammers in front of the press to show who's in control.
Now we have Brate expectations.
That was like Sessler's strategy the day I was gone. He wanted to set a tone. I'm not, you know, when he's manning the shop for me on Monday, you know, he's going to drop some bombs on you. Let
whatever's
you know who's
necessary.
In charge.
Yeah.
Shiny apples. Move on. Let's talk about another second round pick. Bad news for the Saints. And Pa'oli Kakaha. It's pretty close. The pass rusher suffered a torn ACL, Ian Rappaport reported. In his second season, the number 44 overall pick will miss all of 2016 with the injury. This is something, obviously, a big setback for Kakaha and the Saints, who are trying to fix this defense, which was an absolute mess last season, Chris Wessling.
Yeah, I think it's problematic because the Saints don't have depth at defensive end, and they got a few things for their defense in free agency, but they didn't get a pass rusher.
Right. He wasn't a pass rusher last year. He was a strong side linebacker, and they moved him to defensive end because they needed it so bad, and now they're kind of back where they started.
The loser here, Dennis Allen. This defense has the potential to really suck, and the winner is Rob Ryan, who, after flaming the guy in a massive Q&A, is not there anymore and won't have his name attached to this fired tire fire.
Do you think Rob Ryan is happy about this injury?
I don't think he's happy specifically about the injury. I think he's happy about anything that comes close to misfortune in New Orleans.
Well, they took three guys in the first three rounds last year on defense, right? So they're moving – one guy's out for the year. Stephon Anthony had some good moments, but they're moving his position too. P.J. Williams looks pretty good. I mean, they keep just drafting all defense all the time, and eventually you would think they would get a little better and they'd hit on some guys.
C.C. Mickey Loomis.
Other ACL news, Greg. The Patriots lost Michael Williams to a torn left ACL in practice.
Old Williams making the show.
Likely be placed on injured reserve. What will the Patriots do at tight end this season? That's my question.
You know, I liked what I heard about Michael Williams, the old tight end, kind of sixth offensive lineman blocking guy.
Jumbo tight end.
I don't want to make light of his injury. He was the new Michael Humanawanui.
Better than Human.
We needed a new version of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of my favorite guys. Favorite names in NFL history.
In other news, big news, Cam Newton is ditching the dab. The Panthers quarterback told WFNZ Radio on Thursday morning he will bust out a new touchdown celebration in 2016. Newton said, "I have put that aside." He told Black and Blue Review, "I have time. I have until September to find a new celebration." Look at my dab.
Damn. Look at my dab. Too bad we didn't have the video rolling in here.
Let's throw it over to the kissing cousins who have hot takes, I'm sure.
Preening Mark II.
I mean,
it's going to be some form of preening. All right, great.
I basically, through NFL's mail system, sending a bottle of whiskey to Patrick for offering to cover this story because I did not want to write about this.
Why not?
It seems to me that if you're going to attach your celebration to a song of the hour, isn't it obvious that you wouldn't go back to dabbing next season? That thing is old. It's already old news. Thanks, Cam Newton. It is June. We cannot get to September fast enough.
But this, you know, this as celebrations go, this is post-worthy. I mean, this may be up there
with the
most famous celebrations in NFL history, not to mention the cultural impact he made. People are dabbing all over the world, largely because of Cam Newton. Hillary Clinton once dabbed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it's getting exponentially dumber with each of these new layers of people doing it.
I agree. I'm excited. Dan, what do you think his new celebration is going
to
be?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really care either, to be honest with you. But these things do.
That's a coup d'etat to get Dan to say that.
They are cyclical, and because you remember back in the 2012 season, the Gangnam Style. Remember when everybody was doing that dance? And it became exhausting because everyone was doing it. Now, you know, the dabbing song's over now, so it's over. It's fine.
Never really about the song.
It's over, so TD starts playing it.
They were playing this like crazy Super Bowl.
Told you I was rusty.
As my role on the party beat Super Bowl week, that song was in every club. And people were dabbing. It had its moment. Look
at my dab. Well, if nothing else, Wes, you have to give credit to the lyricism.
As a Joni Mitchell fan, Wes.
Yeah, I mean, who wrote that, Bob Dylan?
There's some heavy parallels.
Leonard Cohen's finest song right there.
Finally, in the news, Michael Crabtree, the Oakland Raiders wide receiver, says that Derek Carr reminds him of Brett Favre. Uh-oh, what's that? Trope alert. A gunslinger, Crabtree said. He's always going to be a gunslinger, and I love that. An old Brett Favre-type quarterback. He reminds me of Brett Favre, and Brett Favre's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. Greg, this one's a big-time trope, isn't it?
Not only gunslinger, but especially Brett Favre. How many quarterbacks over the last 10 years have been compared to Brett Favre? 35?
35,000 is
fair. He is the go-to comparison.
Well, last year the go-to comparison for the exact same quarterback was Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Remember, James Jones was calling him Aaron. Just put Derek Carr in the Hall of Fame right now.
No one's ever like, he's the next Dan Marino. You know what I mean?
Put the next Jason Campbell.
Why does everyone need to be the next this or
right.
that? Why can't he just be him?
And no Why one... can't he be the next Derek Carr?
Or, yeah, I mean, sure.
All these first-round quarterbacks or early second-round, no one ever says he's the next J.P. Lossman.
Right.
Wait, are we
– He's the next Steve DeBerg.
Are we slowly – some corrective steering here over to Warren Sapp's side of the argument? It's like, listen, Timmy Jernigan, don't try to be number 99. Try to be number 97, Timmy Jernigan.
I didn't expect that argument or that entire storyline to pop back up into the podcast, but you've done a good job there.
Yeah. That's what's happening in the news. All right, Wes. Now, before we bring in our next guest, let's just talk about, let's reset the deck a little bit here. You historically have been a dominant trivia player in Win West's Toaster, Game of Skill and Valor. And then now here is your chance at redemption. Would you call this a redemption shot for you? Is this your Rumble in the Jungle?
I wouldn't. No, I don't think so. I think that my work speaks for itself.
Well, I think if you're comparing him to Ali, I think it would be more like the latest fights of his career after he had already lost the title two times. Wesleyan has lost the title two times.
The second time to Sheck.
Famously, I'm undefeated against
that. But my match against you was a great match. That was just good trivia. My match against Sheck, first of all, was all Super Bowl trivia, which is not something I'm ever going to be good at, and is right in Sheck's wheelhouse. Also, I wasn't into it that day.
Mm.
I got fat. I didn't prepare.
That was
I think something
Douglas
was going
moment.
On in my personal life at the time, and I just wasn't into the show.
Do you feel like you prepared this time? Do you
no.
care? No.
No, but I feel like I...
Okay, that's a good turn of events.
No, but I feel like I'm strong enough to beat Sheck if the questions are fair.
All right, so a little bit of subtle finger-pointing going on there, but at the same time, confidence is still there. Well, there's no doubt there's an energy in the air right now, a buzz, like a big heavyweight fight. So, TD, do we have anybody behind the glass that is ready to make an entrance?
Yes, we do. Here he comes.
Uh-oh. That's Dave Damashek's music. Oh, man, look at the swagger. Oh, now for the audience at home, Sheck has rolled in, holding the toaster. He just stuck it in Wes's face, an act of disrespect right out of the Ali handbook.
Sweet, sweet toast. Bet you wish you could take a bite, don't you, Wes?
Wow, the true swagger of a champion on display here.
It was really for show anyway on Tybee. We don't Ooh. Have outlets to plug electronics in.
Ooh.
We cook with fire.
Ooh, electricity burn.
You are, you are almost like the Muhammad Ali of the toaster game in that you're the guy that you come to win, you win, and then you talk a ton of trash. Where Wes, you're more like the quiet, dignified champ.
Well, it's giving me a lot of benefit of the doubt. Thank you.
I would say Sheck would be more like Leon Spinks, like a champion who, after he wins everyone yikes. Loses interest in the sport.
You're calling me a fraudulent champion. And by the way, what are you wearing, Rosenthal? It's time for an upgrade. Your wife and I got together and talked about it. It's time for you to upgrade the
subplot.
Wardrobe.
Don't steal Helly's bits from downstairs.
So, true. For those of you that might not be aware of Win West's Toaster, it is a game of skill and valor, but really it's a trivia game. It's an NFL trivia game, and we've played it, I don't know, much to Greg's chagrin, probably a dozen times by now over the last couple of years. And Wes has been dominant at times, but he's had a couple stumbles along the way, and his latest stumble was perhaps the most humiliating after vanquishing Sheck in the past very easily, treating Sheck like almost a ham and egg or a jobber. Sheck shocked the world with a 2-1 victory a couple of months back.
Shocked the world.
And he walked out of the room with the toaster, and we've waited months, like we've waited months for Sheck to give us our sandwiches from
get
my lunch.
I do have
Why don't we address that real quick?
Listen, I'm happy to do it, but the ATNers have become prima donnas. You know, they're like, what are you averaging? Each of you does about like 2 hours worth of work daily. Is that about
wow.
it? And like, if you're not here, like,
No, our job has become more like yours.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wish.
I mean, well. But, you know what that's like, toiling. I mean, that's just 6-7 days a week, you know, restless nights.
It's coal mine work. Yeah. Sheck thought or believed that Peyton Manning would have a front office job by the 2016 NFL draft, and we all took him up on it. 4 sandwiches on the line. The draft was, what, 2 months ago now?
All right, listen. I owe Wes sandwiches from a year ago with – I said that Ryan Mallett would start 12 games, I believe. I don't think he – well, he got a little close with the Ravens right there.
Yeah, like 4 or 5.
Sleep's still 12.
He got halfway there.
And there's another one. So Iowa West, yeah, at least two.
That Sam. Peyton Manning would not lead the Broncos to the playoffs.
Oh, that's what it was. The Broncos wouldn't make the playoffs. That one came very close to coming.
That was it actually come close. In week 16. Everybody forgets this now, but the Super Bowl champions, or champions, as Dave says, in week 16 at like halftime, they were kind of in line to miss the postseason outright, to go from a chance of being the one seed to the seven. Real things that happen in sports.
Sheck, one question for you. I mean, you've had, I don't know, what is it, 4 or 5 months that you've had the toaster?
He's been sitting on it.
Yeah, well, exactly. Have you taken it home, made food, made toast, or, I mean, have you treasured the trophy?
You could make us a sandwich with it.
Well, no, it took a little bit of effort here to get it, but I had it affixed as my hood ornament on my car. And it was a real conversation starter out on the roadways.
You're attached to it.
And this Pro Toast just, Elite.
This isn't any toaster. This toaster, if you, for each of the 32 NFL teams, if you want to put that team's logo on your toast, you can do it. And I don't know how they do it, but it's magic. And that's why
it's a magic
grand prize. Yes. All right. I think it's time.
For what?
To talk about it. Well, listen, it's not quite statute of limitations, but you needed to defend
this. When are we going to talk about your weird fans that tweet me their bile? Like, I have any interest in
– We're not aware of that. What do they say?
You have no idea.
About what?
No.
The unsolicited attacks against Damashek.
We don't support that. We love Sheck.
Let me tell you something about this go get my lunch guy, Nick Fortier.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's taking shots at you.
He told me the toaster belongs to one of the heroes or Damashek, and that hurt my feelings.
Wow.
All right, let's get into it. This is the game.
What game?
Wes's toaster.
Or win Sheck's toaster.
How do you know I haven't retired the toaster?
Because, well,
we can play for Wes's hair dryer.
All right, that's fair.
What about his win Wes's George Foreman grill? What about that?
Big Green Egg.
Win Wes's cake batterer. Listen, the toaster belongs to me, sir. It's my toaster.
Win one of Wes's 37 plaid shirts.
The toaster formerly known as Chris Wessling's. You understand?
How about this? As the commissioner here, I will say that you've had the title for a long time now. You've had the toaster. You have not put the title on the line.
No.
And it's gotten to the point where either you have to go for a matchup right now, or we're going to have to strip you of the toaster, which is not a dignified way to go out as champion.
I'm not going
to
sit here and take your threats. Start the game.
Oh,
I'll play your game.
All right.
I'll dance. This, yeah, it doesn't suit me, though. It takes me 17 minutes to say hello to somebody, let alone answer 5 or 6 questions.
That's what
suited you fine last time.
That's what made it such an upset last time around. Now, as we know, Mark Sessler is the official timekeeper.
Right. How much time is it that we time?
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
It's been a long time here.
6 questions, 60 seconds. Both players get the same 6 questions, one out of the room while this happens. If they tie, we go to the timer who got those questions done in a faster manner. So you also want to stop the clock at a certain point if you don't want to hear a question you missed or passed on. And then Greg Rosenthal is, of course, the official scorer.
Has anyone vetted these questions? Because
Yes.
I don't mind reminding everybody, if you're a longtime listener of the program, which I'm, by the way, glad that you guys are still doing. I think it's neat to find out that you're still working at
Hanging in there.
Good for you guys. The line of questions that I lost to Wes the first time I played the game were along the lines of what nutritional supplement did Dick Butkus advocate for? What do I know? What is that? That's not trivia. That's trivial. You see, it's a big difference. And the same thing, who's the corporate sponsor of the Dolphin Stadium? What does that have to do with anything?
Sun Life?
The answer.
I was going to say, enjoy this podium while it lasts.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, that's fine. You know what? I'm like Reggie Jackson, you know? If they ain't booing, they don't know who you are. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm on enemy soil. So be it.
Well,
I'm going to rise to
this.
This
is Christmas Day in Russia. That's how Sheck feels right now. But I will say this. Since Sheck is the champ, it's only right that he gets to decide whether he answers first or second.
I respect home field advantage, and so Wes is the home team, so I guess I'll go first, right? Isn't that the preference? Wes likes to go second?
Yes, he
I'll play. I'll listen.
Second.
I'll dance. I'll play your game.
All right, Wes, be gone, buddy.
I just want to say best wishes to you, Chris West.
West,
is there an area? Because also, that was another weird one. So when I win the toaster, the subject was the Super Bowl. As though that's some random fringy thing to talk about on a football show. The most important game in the sport. Like, how dare you ask questions about that? Well, that's, I don't know if Dave actually deserves credit for winning questions about the Super Bowl.
It's fair.
Bringing
it's fair
up criticism. Some solid points.
All right, Dave. So here we go. Again, 60 seconds. If you want to pass on a question, you could say pass, and we could come back to it. Or after the sixth question, you say stop the clock, because remember, that's the tiebreaker.
Can I tell you? I want to admit something to you. I'm already getting a little dewy at the prospect of competing right now. That's true.
And we do vet the questions. Both Sessler and Rosenthal signed off on them. Mark, you said that they were tough but fair.
That's essentially what my message was.
Right. Sessler is a man of integrity.
Thank you. You're
the
right.
only one here.
That's true. All right.
I said nothing about anyone else.
The question, Mark, the timer starts when TD starts the ominous background music. Adrian Peterson and Doug Martin finished 1-2 in rushing yards last season. Who finished third?
Todd Gurley.
Vince Ferragamo came out of nowhere to lead the Rams to the Super Bowl in the 1979 season. Who was the starting QB whose injury gave Ferragamo his chance?
Pat Hayden.
This guy went from ball boy to PR intern to offensive assistant to, at 35 years old, the NFL's youngest head coach in 2006.
John Harbaugh.
Aaron Rodgers was one of three quarterbacks taken in the first round of the 2005 NFL draft. Who are the other two?
Alex Smith and... Mark Sanchez.
In 2015, this wide receiver set the NFL record for most receptions in his first two seasons.
10 seconds.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Four running backs have been named the NFL MVP since 2000. Name them.
Time.
I took too long. I didn't even hear that wide receiver one. 2014 and 2015, most catches by a wide receiver
in the history of the league.
Odell Beckham for
their first two seasons.
You started out of the gate.
Wait a second. What was the last one? I'm curious.
You'll hear it. All right. You got the first two right.
Okay.
And then you went down in flames. So.
How did I miss that? The easiest. I mean, that's the easiest question I think I've ever experienced on. On Wes's toaster.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm not going to, but that one was.
All right. Now, Shaq, if you would honor the game and play a little poker now, don't let the old man know.
Okay.
Here comes Chris Wessling now back into the room, wearing all plaid. In fact, we went to the bar to watch the basketball game last night, and I parked next to Wes's car, and hanging in the back seat on a hanger was, guess what, a plaid shirt. I was like, is that Wes's car? I was like, that looks like his car. And there's a plaid shirt hanging. I was like, it still looks. And then I look around the front seat, and on the front seat there's a stack of printed papers about NFL, like NFL history. I was like, this is the most Wessling car ever.
It could be no other.
All right, Wes, now is your chance. It has all come to this. And do you want to know how many Shaq got?
No, because you're not going to tell me anyway.
Okay, you're right. I was not going to tell you. That was a test to try to throw you off your game. But no more games now. The only game. Here we go. Chris Wessling. Adrian Peterson and Doug Martin finished 1-2 in rushing yards last season. Who finished third?
Todd Gurley.
Vince Ferragamo came out of nowhere to lead the Rams to the Super Bowl in the 1979 season. Who was the starting quarterback whose season-ending injury gave Ferragamo his chance?
Ron Jaworski.
This guy went from ball boy to PR intern to offensive assistant to, at 35 years old, the NFL's youngest head coach in 2006.
Pass.
Aaron Rodgers was one of three quarterbacks taken in the first round of the 2005 NFL draft. Who were the other two?
Alex Smith and J.P. Lossman.
In 2015, this wide receiver set the NFL record for most receptions in his first two seasons.
Odell Beckham.
Four running backs have been named the NFL MVP since 2000. Name
10 seconds.
Jarvis Landry, I'm changing that instead of Odell Beckham.
Four running backs have been named the NFL MVP since 2000. Name them.
Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson, Priest Holmes.
Time.
All right. Now, Greg Rosenthal, this is very interesting. This is history right now. And Win West's toaster. Greg Rosenthal is the official scorer. Chris Wessling said originally his answer was Odell Beckham for who has the most receptions ever in their first two seasons, and then he went back and changed it to Jarvis Landry, which is indeed the correct answer, people. Greg, will you allow that?
Have we ever done that before?
That we have
there
done that.
There should be rules to that.
I think that's
we have
fair.
Done that before.
But
in
get the
end,
answer before the clock
in
expires.
The end, I am going to accept that.
Okay. All right, and then so where does that leave?
That leads Chris Wessling with two correct answers. He didn't have any time left. That means it's a tie.
Whoa.
And the toaster stays with Sheck.
Wow. Wait a second.
Wait, I don't know.
That's not the rule.
I'm making it the rule.
It's a sudden death.
Oh.
Sudden death. Question. Everything on the line.
Holy hell.
Whoa.
So wait, whoever answers first?
Yes.
That's too much pressure for me.
Oh, my God.
I'm a delicate flower. I can't handle that much.
It's all on the line. All right. Before we get into the sudden death round, let me just go through those answers. Todd Gurley, yes, finished third in rushing as a rookie. Pat Hayden was the quarterback that started that season for the Rams before eventually Ferragamo
former
took
USC
over.
Star.
Eric Mangini was the head coach at 35 years old.
Surprised you guys didn't get that one.
Very surprised.
I was thinking about the question I blew before that.
Alex Smith and Jason Campbell picked the pick after Aaron Rodgers by the Redskins. Jarvis Landry, 194 catches in his first two seasons. And the four running backs, Marshall Faulk, Sean Alexander, Faulk in 2000, Alexander in 05, Tomlinson in 06, and Peterson in 13. So, now.
Tough questions.
Those were
tough but fair.
Kinda tough there. The Jarvis Landry one was a great pull to go back and get that one. What was that? There was another one that was pretty interesting. But anyway, the J.P. Losman answer. He's a great answer to the trivia question of who was the fourth quarterback taken.
You feeling good, Sheck?
In the historic odd four class.
You came out of this tied. You didn't get wiped. You came out of it showing well.
Yeah, it's funny because I would have said my John Harbaugh answer was I thought he had a similar sort of background that he started out as a ball boy with somewhere or something like that. But anyway.
All right, guys, I've quickly, like a good host, thought of a tiebreaker question, and this is unprecedented. Can we get a little drama muse? The first person to answer, and again.
A lot of tension here.
Mark, you will be the judge here who
wow.
jumps at first if it's close because you have the best angle. All right, whoever
I get
answers
nervous.
A question. Here we go. Here it comes. First one to answer. In the 2004 NFL draft, Eli Manning went first overall. Philip Rivers went fourth overall. Name one of the players picked in between.
That's a good question.
Yeah, one guess, by the way.
2004.
One of those players was a wide receiver.
Andre Johnson.
Wes is incorrect. Give us an answer.
So now I have all the time in the world.
All the time in the world.
Oh.
We'll put
this is called the speed round, right?
Says who? Speed round nothing. No one said anything about how fast. The speed was whether or not I could beat Wes. He's giving his answer.
You have 20 seconds. You have 20 seconds.
I don't know about that.
Can I guess again?
Receiver, you say?
You have 5 seconds to answer the question.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Oh, he got it!
That is the correct answer! Sheck keeps the toaster! Sheck keeps the toaster! Sheck keeps the toaster! Sheck keeps the toaster!
Pit background pays off again!
Don't
City of Champions!
Don't feel bad because everyone forgot about Robert Gallery.
Oh, wow.
Dave Damashek, who is already, I should have mentioned this earlier, is flying high because his Pittsburgh Penguins are up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals with a chance to clinch tonight. At the Igloo?
It's at the Igloo, yeah. It's
I think
everything's coming up black and gold. Right?
I mean,
now,
Damashek is the winner, but the real winners here are people like me who have been hoping for this segment to die from day one. It's dying a natural death. I got to get out of here. You're done.
Greg's gone. He walks off. He has a corporate meeting.
Rendered irrelevant by Damashek owning the title. How much can we respect a sport that has that?
Let's throw it over to Chris Wessling. Mark, how about you do the sideline interview with Wes, the losing player in today's game?
Chris, you came right down to the end, but in an unprecedented spot for you. How do you come back from this? Do you want to come back? Are you over? Are you done?
That's the big news of the day. I do not want to come back from this. I'm going to announce my retirement. I just realized the passion isn't there anymore.
Whoa.
They don't care whether I win or lose. I just don't care about that toaster.
Wow. You realize
you can't
you
can't manufacture love.
This is one of our cornerstone podcast segments, and you're willing to let that just sail off.
Well, you know, maybe people have come out of retirement before. I don't see it happening anytime soon. You know,
no good comes out of that.
Yeah, I don't see it as something I care about.
Dan Hansis here, Westwood One. Wes, you say that you don't care, but I see it in your eyes. It seems like you're upset about how that played out.
I don't ever like to lose at anything, but I realized while you were asking the questions that it was just like last time. I wasn't focused. There was no burning intensity there. I just don't really care one way or another about whether I have the toaster or not.
Post-toaster career plans for Chris Wessling.
LIVIN.
I think it's interesting that we don't even interview the two-time champion.
Well, now
we go right.
No, you throw it back to me.
Okay, Dan, back to you at Westwood One.
All right, I'm here with the champion now, the defending, two-time defending toaster champion. How about you, Sheck? How say you? Do you have more to prove, or are you walking away as the champion?
Well, I did it because I'm a generous soul. I decided to let the longtime and great champion of the sport try to reclaim his toaster. But with this victory, I think I've solidified my spot in history. As I've said before, not unlike back in the mid-90s, when I won my first Connect Four title, I won the world championship in Connect Four, that felt good because that was the inaugural competition and nobody could take that away from me. But when it really started to mean something was when I won a second time. That then reaches another level. Two-time champ makes the bar even higher. I think I quit while I'm ahead here and walk away. You know.
So you're done, champ. You say you're out.
I have nothing left to prove in the sport myself. I'm going to go and eat the most delicious piece of toast. And wouldn't that be a neat turn? What are the rules on the sandwich bets? What if I make Wes a grilled cheese with his old toaster?
No,
is that wrong?
Has to be a high-octane sandwich.
Yeah, that's the rule. It has to be high-octane.
Oh, it does. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's going to be tasty.
I tried rubbing it in.
What you're saying is expensive. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that is the code word.
I'll make you a delicious sandwich.
I don't think like a Wonder Bread grilled cheese counts as high octane.
All right, we'll figure all that out. Just a little hint, Shaq. Cannibal opened up a Culver City location.
Oh,
Manhattan Eatery.
It's delicious.
Well, your listeners surely know Handsome Hank Hodgson. And,
yes.
You know, he and I on our culinary tour across these United States, which you guys have been occasional participants
yeah.
on our fine meals in football towns across these United States. Yes, Cannibal we ate at in New York and were sent to heaven. They, in fact, served their specialty that night, pig's head. And they said,
with the eyeballs,
a real pig? Who wants that? And they said, oh, yes, it's great because all the textures are so different. The ear is so different than the snout, which melts in your mouth.
Yeah, can't get
enough
of that.
That's not a sell job. The melt in your mouth snout of swine.
All right. So, yes, history was made here. Chris Wessling announces his retirement from the toaster. Sheck, the champion, also sounds like very close to making a final decision, or in fact has. He will also retire, which means the toaster game could be over. But what an exciting way for it to go out. And we should get out of here now because there's nothing else that can be said, Mark.
No, I mean, this is kind of a historical moment in the podcast. And, you know, I want to take some time, just let it soak in.
Okay, so this is Dan Hansa signing off for Mark Sessler.
Who'd the Browns take a nod for? I'm sorry. I just,
no, it's fine.
Kellen Winslow said.
I know. I just wanted to see if Cecil remembered.
Thank you.
Don't do that to him. All right. We'll be back next week with three more episodes. This is Dan Hansa signing off for the Sizzler. Forgot about Quiet Storm. The Mailman, Sheck, the champion.
And the toaster.
The toaster, the boss, and TD behind the glass. Thanks for joining us again, baby. Until next week.